This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We've been covering a very important statement of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is one of the most comprehensive hadith dealing with the topic of brotherhood and laying out the framework of what true Islamic brotherhood looks like. And today we're going to continue with that. And that is because there are forces that would love for us to be divided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدُّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us, he says in the Quran, that Satan seeks to cause hatred and enmity and animosity between you all through gambling and through alcohol. And he seeks to prevent you from the remembrance of Allah. So will you stop? So will you abandon that practice? We're not going to go into the point or the tafsir of this particular ayah, because the point is that Islam has prohibited everything that leads to animosity between the believers. Anything that causes enmity between the believers is prohibited in Islam. Yani, to the point that if you know, as our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَلَا يَخْتُمْ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَى خِطْبَةِ أَخِيهِ. Yani, to the point that if you know that someone else has approached a woman in marriage and that it looks like it's going to work out, you have no right to go to that woman and ask for her hand in marriage, or to send anybody else that way, or to do anything that's going to cause problems between the believers. And so our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us and commanded us to love one another, to be real brothers and sisters to one another. And I just want us to stop and think that if we look around this city, the number of Muslims that we have in this city, visible Muslims, the ones that you can see, you can tell, you can look at them and you can say, that person is a Muslim, not to mention all of the other Muslims that you may not know are in fact Muslim. Imagine if we could let go of our egos and we could rid ourselves of the practices that have divided us and we actually work together in harmony. Imagine what we could do for Islam. Imagine what we could do for each other. Because the reality is that even to secure our material, you know, benefit and our material interest, we have to have some degree of working together. And so our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laid this down as law in Islam so that we could be, in fact, brothers and sisters to one another. And so the hadith that we've been going over is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبيع أحدكم على ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not envy one another. We covered that in two khutbas, explaining that envy is the result of a person not being content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, and therefore comparing what he has to someone else, and therefore not doing anything to develop his own talents and his own blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Too busy looking at someone else's grass and believing that it's greener or that their ice is colder. La tahasadu, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. And do not be involved in najash, which we're going to talk about in this khutbah, inshallah, so I'm not going to translate that right now. And don't hate one another. And don't turn your backs on one another. That is, to boycott one another and abandon each other. And do not undercut your competitor in buying and selling. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. And be brothers, O servants of Allah. Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, the Prophet said that the Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره. He does not oppress him or wrong him. He does not abandon him or forsake him. And he does not look down on him. He doesn't belittle his brother. At-taqwaha huna, the Prophet said. Piety is right here in your heart. بِحَسَبِ امْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرِ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. It's enough of an evil that a Muslim belittle another Muslim. That he sees himself to be superior because of his arrogance. And he looks down on another Muslim. كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٌ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said that all of the Muslim is sacred to another Muslim. His life, his wealth, and his honor. And we're going to repeat that hadith for however long it takes to get through this hadith. 10 times, whatever. Because this hadith is an Islamic manifesto for how we are supposed to behave with one another. And today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to cover 2 statements of the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith. And that is, do not be involved in Najash and do not hate one another. So this first part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tanajashu, do not get involved in Najash, which is normally translated as. I want you to pay attention because this happens. We're not talking about something that is in a vacuum. It happens on a daily basis. Do not artificially inflate prices. Now, what does that actually mean? The Prophet ﷺ, 1,400 years ago, I see this to be as one of the most amazing aspects of our deen. In fact, some of the scholars of Islam say that the greatest miracle of our Prophet ﷺ was the Sharia itself. When you look at the laws of Islam, those things that the Prophet ﷺ said, we can't go back and see what the miracles were. But we have an everlasting miracle in the Quran, and looking at the laws of Islam are in fact miraculous. So the Prophet ﷺ here is forbidding what today they call shill bidding or ghost bidding, fake bids. In other words, a seller has a third party who drives up the price of his product so that the buyer does not get it at a lower price. And so this happens at car auctions all the time. It happens online, like on eBay. All right? In fact, some people, what they'll do in shill bidding, they'll create a fake account. So this person is the seller, and he has another account in a different name. And he goes and he puts his product to bid. So it starts at $3, $5, whatever. He wants $10 for it. And so nobody goes past $5. He goes from his fake account and lifts the bid to $6. Somebody comes in at $7. This is called a najash, and it is haram in Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an najash, and some other ahadith, just like that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid a najash. He forbid this artificial inflation of prices. And not only is it impermissible with Muslims, it's impermissible across the board. You cannot do that just because, oh, well, this person is not a Muslim, so I can inflate the price. No, it's deception, it's cheating. And you can't do that. You can't do that in Islam. There's other forms of najash that we have to be aware of. And it's this artificial inflation of prices. So from it is what they call pump and dump groups. And any of you that are know people involved in the stock market, this happens frequently. So what you get is a group of people, a large group, that will buy a huge sum of a particular company. So they buy a bunch of shares. On the market, it looks like this company is up and rising. So other people begin to buy high. Once it gets to the price you want, then you sell it. That's the dump part. You've already artificially pumped, and now you are dumping. It's illegal, it's unethical, it is haram, and the Prophet ﷺ prohibited that practice 1,400 years ago. And the Muslims cannot be involved in this type of stuff. And there are other ways, there are other things that the scholars have mentioned are a form of najash, and again, it happens frequently. So say, for example, somebody's selling a product that you want for $4,000, but you want it for $3,000. And they don't really know the market. So you tell them, I give you $3,000. They say, no, I want $4,000 for you. You say, okay. You call up other people that you know in that industry and you say, offer them $2,500 for, offer them $2,600, to make him think that his product is worth less than it actually is. See, any manipulation of the market falls under najis. It is haram in Islam. Because, and you can see why it's mentioned in this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned it right after, do not envy one another. Because these type of practices cause problems between people. We value our wealth. In fact, Islam came to protect your wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. When talking about man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, his love of al-khayr is intense. Man has intense love for al-khayr. Al-khayr in this ayah is talking about wealth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when describing the children of Adam, he talked about their love of wealth, their craving for wealth. And we're not talking about craving here, but we're just talking about the fact that for any community to strive, for any individual to strive, he has to have some degree of economic stability. And here you come messing up his wealth. And this is going to create friction in the community. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it's clear why it's mentioned in this particular hadith, is because it's one of those things that lead to enmity between the believers. Because instead of me paying, you know, $10 for a product, now I'm paying $20 because somebody else is driving up the price of that product and he doesn't even want it. And he doesn't even want it. Either because he wants to benefit the seller or because he wants to harm the buyer. He's a hater. Hates the fact that this person is about to get a good deal. And so he drives up the price. And so when we look at these type of elements of Islam, then we have to understand that as a community, we have to let this stuff go. And that's in fact why many of the scholars, even though the scholars are fiqh in describing and najish, they talk about what we just talked about, which is that artificial raising of the price. But linguistically, najish simply means deceit and to conceal something. Right? A hunter is often called a najish. Why? Because he's concealed and he's trying to trick the animals to come out so that he can hunt them. And so many of the scholars give a broader definition of this hadith, which is that a Muslim does not deceive another Muslim. Period. As our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Man ghasha falaysa minna." Whoever cheats, whoever deceives, is not from us. And don't think that this is restricted to another Muslim. Just Muslims. This is across the board. And we have to recognize, as Muslims in this country, as a minority, that we are ambassadors of this deen. That we are representatives of Islam. What we do is looked at much more than what we say. We talk about da'wah, we talk about calling people to Islam. If you say one thing, and you live a deceptive life, your business practice is all deceitful, how are you supposed to be someone who calls to Islam? How is your behavior going to be measured as a Muslim? In fact, you may be pushing people away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we would hate to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say after that particular portion of the hadith, and before we get to that, just recognize here, and this is across the board, that if you have received money in this way, or you do business this kind of way, the wealth that you receive from that is haram. And haram wealth is one of the things that prevents your prayers from being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know in that hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that man came and he raised his hands and he was disheveled and dusty and he was traveling, all of these things. And he's saying, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, and he's calling upon Allah, Mat'amuhu haram, Ma'kaluhu haram. His food is haram, his clothes are haram. What does that mean, his food is haram? He's eating pig? No, not necessarily. He purchased it with haram wealth. So be careful, all of that wealth that you get, And then you go and you buy food for yourself and your family, and you're putting a roof over your head with haram wealth, you need to be very careful. Mm-hmm. That this is stopping your prayers from being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stopping your tawfiq, stopping you from being guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا, and do not hate one another. Do not hate one another. Now, if we look at this, the previous thing that we talked about is an action, something you go out and do. Hatred is something that comes and creeps in the heart. And so what our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam here is actually forbidding, before we even get to hatred, are those things that lead to a Muslim despising or hating another Muslim. And this is why, you know, as we've covered in the previous ayah that we mentioned at the beginning, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ أَنْ يُوْخِيَ عَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ. That's the work of shaitan. That he wants us to hate one another. He wants us to have animosity to one another. He wants us to be divided. And those causes for division are many. Many of them stem from the tongue. There's backbiting, slander, going around speaking about other Muslims, just saying things that are incorrect or that are going to create enmity between the Muslims. This is why, in fact, this issue of not hating another Muslim is so important that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually gave the license to lie in order to bring two Muslims together. Lying is strictly forbidden in Islam. We don't have the concept of little white lies in Islam. All of that's haram. The Muslim's tongue has to be truthful. And our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that kadhib, or lying, leads to corruption, and corruption leads to the hellfire. And it's not something that a Muslim gets his tongue used to. And as evil as lying is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam actually gave the license to lie in war. And you're not going to tell the enemy, hey, I'm right over here. That's, I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us a license not to tell the truth during war. Well, harbu khuda, war is deception, right? And this is one of the other cases, which is in the case of bringing harmony and reconciliation between the Muslims. And so, though there are many things that lead to hatred, we're just going to focus on two in this particular khutbah, inshallah ta'ala. Hopefully, it'll be enough for us to wake up and realize that some of the things that we do between each other are simply incorrect. The first thing is being impatient with one another. Pay attention to client. Being impatient with one another. Now, what does that even mean, and what does that look like? That means that we all have faults. There's nobody in here that is an angel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels. Everybody has faults. And as believers, we have to learn to be patient with those faults. It doesn't mean that we don't give each other advice. It doesn't mean that we just let things slide. But it does mean that we allow ourselves to see the good in these other Muslims, and not allow their faults to blind us to the good that they have, and therefore allow that enmity to override. And this is why Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, when giving advice to one of his companions, Yunus al-Sadafi, he said to him, if something comes to you, pay attention, because this happens. This is something that happens to us frequently. If someone narrates to you, or someone tells you something about your brother that you do not like, فَلْقَهُ, he said, then go to him, meet up with him, and ask him, is it true? All right, so what are we hearing now? You heard something that wasn't okay. something that you dislike, something that rubbed you the wrong way. You don't just run with it. You go and you ask your friend about that. If it bothers you, then you need to ask him about that. And if he says it's not true, then you should let him know that you believe him. That you believe that he's honest. And you accept that from him. But if he says, yes, it's true, then you ask him why. You see, that's the next step. You don't just jump to conclusions. Why? Maybe he has a very good reason for why he did what he did. And so you ask him, well, why did you do that? And if he gives you an excuse that's plausible, in other words, it's somewhere in the realm of being acceptable, accept the excuse from him. Accept the excuse from him. Don't go try to dig deep and, you want to be an investigator and you want to be Sherlock Holmes when it comes to your own friends. Not going to work. All right. So then he says, if his excuse was no good or he doesn't have an excuse, he said, then look to his good qualities. The good that he's done to you, the relationship that you've had with him for such a long time. And allow that to outweigh whatever it is that you dislike. He said, if he's never done any good to you, then you respond in a way that is appropriate for what it is that was done wrong. And then he said, oh, Eunice, he's still talking to his companion. Finding a good friend is difficult. Listen, finding a good friend is difficult. Losing him is easy. And so as brothers in Islam, we have to be very careful not to allow the causes of enmity, those things that result in hatred, we don't let them sit on our hearts. And this is especially true with people who are very close to one another. Brothers and sisters, like in the same house, husband and wife. Because what happens is that because you're together more frequently than other folks, because of that, you normally get on each other's nerves a little more. You normally do things that annoy each other more just because of the frequency of being around. I can take it with the brother in the masjid because I'm only going to see him for 10 minutes. But with your spouse, no, it kind of escalates the situation. And our Prophet ﷺ gave us advice for that too. Again, from the beauty of this deen. And so he said, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنا إذا كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. Let not a believing man hate a believing woman. Not a husband hate his wife. He should not despise his wife. If there's something about her that he dislikes, she has some characteristic that he's not fond of. رضي منها آخر. There's another quality that she has that he does like. So we have to be fair in our dealings, and we have to follow this advice of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not hating one another. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts and to make us true brothers in Islam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa liyus salihin wa ashhadu anna muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu ba'athahu Allahu rahmatan lil alamin. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik wa an'am ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters in Islam, recognize that when our Prophet ﷺ says, do not hate one another, that starts in the home. And that is why we emphasize this point of spousal relationships, because a community is built with families. And so if that family unit is tight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we can learn how to work with each other in the house, then inshallah ta'ala, we can learn to tolerate outside of the home. And we can build that brotherhood. And we should never underestimate the value of loving one another for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. In fact, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made happiness and success in the hereafter predicated upon love for one another in this life. And that's why we shouldn't underestimate. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You're not going to enter paradise until you believe. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And you will not believe. You will not have true iman until you love one another. أَفَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَبَّبْتُمْ. Should I not show you something that if you do it with one another, then you will love one another? أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread the salams amongst each other. Spread those greetings of peace. When you tell a Muslim assalamu alaikum, you're letting them know that they're not going to receive any harm from you. That there's no harm going to come from you. That you are actively making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them peace. When you walk in your home and you say assalamu alaikum to the people in your house, you can't go and say assalamu alaikum and then turn into a tyrant. It doesn't work. Do you really understand what you're saying? You're making dua that they get peace and then you turn into the one that brings them harm? And so it's critical that we understand that, to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this as one of His greatest favors for the Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the favor of Allah upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us this for no reason. He's telling us so that we consciously think about the favor of Allah. What favor is He talking about? إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. When you used to be enemies, and then Allah Azza wa Jal brought your hearts together. Allah brought your hearts together. Now, this address, yes, is to the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some of them had major problems with each other before Islam. And then Allah Azza wa Jal brought their hearts together. But we, especially in this country, we can understand that. We can understand it. There are people in the masjid right now, before Islam, they didn't like each other too much. And Allah Azza wa Jal brought their hearts together. There are people of different nationalities and colors and all over the spectrum, socioeconomic backgrounds, and that prior to Islam, there's nothing that they have in common, nothing but Allah Azza wa Jal did what? Allah brought their hearts together. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبي. If you were to spend the treasures of the earth, all of the wealth that was in the earth, you wouldn't have been able to bring their hearts together. ولكن الله ألف بينهم. But it is Allah who brought them together. And so it is important that we recognize this ni'mah, this true blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to be brothers and sisters in this deen. And that we should never belittle that blessing. And we should never do anything that is going to cause us to hate another Muslim. Or cause them to hate us. And avoid all of those practices. And do those things which is going to bring about unity amongst the Muslims. I'm going to wrap up with a very important point that was mentioned by Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, who has one of the greatest explanations of the hadith that we are covering for this series of khutbahs. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is because it afflicts a certain group of Muslims in this city. And we need to be aware of these things so that we don't fall into those things that will cause enmity between the believers. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala says at the end of this section of the hadith, and we should be aware of a very subtle matter. And that is the matter of Muslims differing in legal opinions in the Sharia. And them allowing that differing amongst themselves about Islamic issues to cause enmity and hatred between them. Now, obviously, we know that there are some things in Islam that are simply not acceptable. And if a person dislikes something for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's honorable. There are obviously things that we're not going to like as Muslims. Any disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in any form that it may be, we're going to dislike. And we have to hate that as Muslims. It's part of our deen. However, what is mentioned here is that we have some people who follow their scholars and their leaders simply because of who that scholar or leader is, not because they actually believe the opinion that he has taken. And that scholar that leader may be forgiven for his mistake. And that's because he has the tools of ijtihad. That is, he has those tools that qualify him in Islam to come to his own conclusions and make his own opinions. And he does so seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that doesn't mean his followers are. Because his followers are following him to aid him, not to aid the truth. And the proof of that can be found that if someone else was to make that same statement, they wouldn't follow it. But because it comes from this particular scholar, or this particular leader, or this particular sheikh, then they follow it, and they create enmity between them and other believers because of it, or they have an allegiance with other people because of that particular personality. And that personality worship in Islam is not acceptable. And it's one of the greatest causes of division. And if we look at what divides many of the Muslims in this city, it's personality worship. It's because people have attached themselves to a particular leader or leaders. And because of that, they build allegiances. And because of that, they sever friendships and camaraderie and leadership and community. And so we have to recognize that all of that comes under the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تباغضوا, do not hate one another.